Dubai Eye
103.8. Good morning. It is The Agenda. It is Emma Brain in for Tom Urquhart this morning. We are live at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, hosted by Mazda, and lots of things happening here today. We've sent Sonal off on her challenge, looking forward to seeing what she comes back with, finding a sustainable and renewable lunchbox with everything involved. That's what we want from her a little bit later on in the show. Joining me now is Beda Lamke. He's the CEO of Tabreed. Good morning. How are you?
Very good morning to you. Thank you.
And how's it been going here at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week for you?
It's been an exciting week for us. Definitely attending Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week is a very important event that we cannot miss. It's a good, sets the tone for the year. It's been going on for several years now and has become a destination. So us being involved in the dialogue around sustainability of the planet, of sustainability of the environment, is a dialogue that we contribute immensely to. So very much excited, and it has been a very good week for us, engaging with policymakers, with technology providers, with developers, sharing also ideas about the challenges of the sector, as well as trying to explore opportunities to grow the business and continue collectively to contribute to meeting the sustainable targets. So it's been a very exciting week.
Fantastic. Now let's talk a little bit about the background of Tabreed for people that might not know. So you were established in 1998, and you had your first district cooling plant in Suwayhan in Abu Dhabi in 1999. And today you've got 75 plants across the GCC, and you are the region's leading cooling excellence in standards with an unwavering commitment to quality, safety, and efficiency. So let's talk about the cooling services. How much energy and water do they use? How does it all work?
So a little bit of background first of all. The country has always showed environmental stewardship and a commitment towards sustainability. And back then, indeed in 1998, the leadership of this country thought about also avenues where we can optimize the consumption of energy. So the concept of district cooling was then launched via a company called Tabreed. And since then, today, actually, just to update the figures, we are today a portfolio of 80 plants across the GCC, except Kuwait. We are also present in India. And basically, through our operation today, we are able to save nearly 2.2 billion kilowatt hours of electricity, which otherwise would be needed to provide cooling through the alternative conventional cooling method. So having this district cooling plants, giant fridges if you like, with industrial chillers, allows us to produce and provide chilled water to our consumers, to our customers. And in doing so, we are able to do that by saving the electricity needed. And in doing that as well, we then in turn also save the carbon emissions. So annually through our portfolio, we are able to save nearly 1.1 million tons of CO2 we can avoid emitting to the atmosphere. So these are very profound figures and very important figures, and shows that the concept works. And actually it's quite easy and it's quite quick win, I would argue, in the context of climate change. Often the big discussion, the mainstream discussion, is about renewables, and yes, there's been a lot of progress in that front with initiatives such as Masdar. But one of the blind spots in the dialogue at international stage is probably looking at quick wins whereby you can optimize the energy consumption, hence you optimize the emissions that goes to the atmosphere. And district cooling is a rather simple concept, an important concept, and the contribution of it is felt immediately when it comes to environment sustainability. So the concept works, and it's actually bankable as well. The financial institutions have understood the concept, and they're quite comfortable providing financing to build such facilities. And yes, over the 22 years of operation since creation, Tabreed have demonstrated that it's able to develop projects, improve on the engineering year after year, and then provide the financing for it, and then a sustainable, efficient excellence in operating those plants with the highest standards of safety. And the impacts, as I said, 2.2 billion kilowatt hours of electricity avoided by saving and providing the cooling through the alternative of district cooling. So that's the impact.
So that's fantastic. So let's talk about some of the things that you do. Tell me about the thermal energy storage that you use. How does that work?
In our plants, we are able to store excess cooling so that during peak hours, so you know, day and night, mm-hmm. and normally, typically, after a long day at work, we all go back homes, and that's when, especially in summer, you're able then to turn on all your air conditioning. There's a huge pull for electricity. But through the design that we have engineered in our plants, we're able to save additional cooling capacity during daylight, and then use that and provide that to the system at peak hours, and that shifts the loads and helps the system, the grid, to save further electricity. And it's one of the innovative ideas that we came up with. We continue to demonstrate that we are also a company of the future, continuous trying to provide technological innovative solutions into our operation. For example, we've recently also adapted an AI tool, an artificial intelligence tool that predicts ahead of time the maintenance frequency that needs to be adopted proactively. So we are able then to plan our maintenance and defer some maintenance which are otherwise will not be which otherwise will be conducted when it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. So this AI tool is able to analyze the operational data that we have, temperatures, pressures, and different other parameters, and then come up with the prediction and projections that, okay, this particular plant, you do not need to intervene and take it off operation because it's still running efficiently. So that's an element of AI, which is, again, one of the main themes in this conference, and also in the UAE, you know, we have a dedicated focus on artificial intelligence, and Tabreed is working on that front.
I was going to say, because technology is starting to play a massive role in things like this, into making them more efficient and sustainable for the future.
Sure. And in our operation, if I may expand a little bit further, I mean, we look at how we optimize our electricity consumption to provide the services that we do, basically chilled water. But also in doing so, we also very meticulous and very careful about our water consumption as well. And we try to optimize the water efficiency within our operations. We have maybe a couple of examples I want to point out to your audience. We have a flagship project in Bahrain whereby we've done the design in a way where we actually utilize the water from the Gulf, basically seawater, at a temperature that works for us and makes the operation efficient. Hence, we minimize and mm-hmm. almost eliminate the need for portable water, which is a scarce commodity. Also here within our plants in the UAE and elsewhere where we operate, where it's possible to use treated effluent water and recycle that to operation, we do so. And in doing so, we reduce the need for, during the life cycle of the plant, of portable water of at least 30%. Wow. So we do a saving of up to 30% in the need of potable water when using effluent water, treated water. So again, Tabreed is a company that is environmentally sensitive, takes sustainability quite dearly at heart, and when it comes to energy consumption, water consumption, adaptation of innovation and artificial intelligence is something that we continue to demonstrate to our customers, and we will continue to do so moving forward.
Those are huge percentages, because as we know, water is a very scarce commodity here in the UAE and indeed the region. We are chatting to Baed Alamki. He is the CEO of Tabreed here at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week.
From the Abu Dhabi National Exhibition Centre,
this is The Agenda.
Live at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, accelerating sustainable development.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Welcome back. It is The Agenda, live from Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, hosted by Mazda. It is Emma Brain in for Tom Urquhart this morning. And with me is Baed Alamki. He's the CEO of Tabreed, and basically they do lots of cooling services and distribution around the region. We've been talking about sustainability, the thermal storage using seawater and other types of waters. And Baed, one thing I want to bring up with you, because it's a question that comes in all the time to shows like The Agenda. People asking, how can they reduce their chiller fees? Because sometimes if it's not included on your electricity bill, and we have people that pay their chiller fees separately, sometimes they find they can get a little bit expensive for them. So people want to know, how can they reduce these costs? What can they do to make things run more efficiently?
So the question of consumption of chillers home, at residential, is probably going to be addressed in different ways. One, definitely, the different units has to be designed from the get-go to be well insulated and well the chillers within the buildings are well distributed, so that the consumption of chillers or cooled condition is reduced. So there's an element of design of mm-hmm. the building. Secondly, there's an element of awareness. Each consumer in his own building has to have an element of awareness about the importance of adopting chilled water through district cooling plants. This has a life cycle cost saving in contrast with the short-term saving. You have to look at life cycle cost saving. Then we as a Tabreed, we've recently launched Tabreed Energy Service Company during this week, actually. It's a company that can work with consumers to provide you with our know-how to optimize the consumption of chilled water for cooling purposes within buildings. There's a know-how there that I think is a new add-on to our portfolio that maybe also differentiates us from the other service providers in this country. And that services will be available, and would encourage the consumers to avail the advice of technical teams who can visit and also help you do an audit of your consumption and then work with you with a plan. And to the extent that this is something that the tenant or the landlord is unable to invest in, we will be able to invest on behalf through an energy service contract, whereby we will recoup return on investment through the saving of the bill until we recoup that, and then the savings will continue further with the landlord or the tenant for the time that they live there.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's actually something I've never heard of before, and that's something that a lot of people, especially landlords, will be interested in finding out more about. Another thing is, I've lived in several apartment buildings. Sometimes I paid chiller fees. Sometimes I'm not sure if they were incorporated in the DIWA bill or in the rent I paid. So how do you compute chiller fees, and who's actually responsible for paying them?
I think that's a very, very relevant point. And this is where I would maybe point out towards regulation. Regulation is required. Tabreed is pro-regulation. Recently, in Abu Dhabi at least, probably during the last quarter of last year, during the World Energy Council Congress last year, Abu Dhabi launched their district cooling regulation. And it's something that is transparent, is available online. Tenant, landlords, everybody can access to it. And it provides transparency of the billing mechanism and also fairness of that chilled water. So regulation is definitely important, and I think there's an increasing attention towards having this regulated, this sector to be regulated, and at least Abu Dhabi have taken that step. I'm sure the others will follow suit.
Is it the landlord or the tenant?
The regulation stipulates exactly where the responsibility is laid between the service provider, a company like Tabreed or others who play in this market, and then the end user. And at the end of the day, there's also two type of fees are typically associated with this. One is the capacity charge, and the other one is consumption charge. Consumption will rely on the tenant and how aware he or she is with the consumption practice and what initiative they can take. So the responsibility lays with the tenant when it comes to consumption charge, capacity charge, and how fair it is and transparent it is and how is it built. That is something that the service provider needs to abide with, and there's the regulation that will govern this framework of relationship.
So the tenants actually have control of, they can basically reduce the consumption charge depending on how much they use it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that's the awareness topic I refer to. But also, the design of the building, I come back to what we've talked about earlier. The design of the building has to be also smart to introduce the right isolation so that it can trap heat outside, so you need less cooling inside the building. So there's the isolation aspect. There's also the distribution of the ducts within the building so that the chilled water and the cooling is distributed evenly between the rooms. There's no imbalance, which will create so you'll be sitting in one room feeling very hot and sitting in the other next door room feeling very cold, and then you're putting on your air conditioning higher, and as such you're consuming higher. But basically it's a simple distribution imbalance in the design to start with. So there's also that aspect that needs to be also caught at inception as the permits are being secured and as the designs have been implemented.
I can completely relate to that. I freeze in my living room, in the bedrooms. It's boiling hot because the vents are tiny, the units are tiny, and they just can't cope with the capacity that's needed to cool it. So I'm boiling hot in one room and freezing cold in the other.
I have experienced that as well. So basically, better designed buildings or maybe new buildings have a better chance of, you know, better insulation and as a consequence, maybe lower chiller fees. Now, I know you've heard of this, a big development in Dubai that had issues with chiller fees not being paid. This was in the middle of summer, and a lot of tenants suffered. Is this something of a headache to you? There's the homeowners association, there's the developer, and there are the end users. Some of them have paid, some of them haven't, but as a result, all of them are suffering and getting their chiller services cut off. What's the solution to this, you think?
I'm certainly not in a position to comment on some of other service providers, so that experience is not something we've had. Okay. We provide chilled water to bulk consumers, malls, hospitals, airports, and the likes. But we also have some services that we provide to retailers and residentials. And so far, we provide that in a most efficient way, most transparent way. And we are quite happy to expand and service our clients. Client satisfaction is important, and we take that very dearly, and we do surveys from time to time. And so far, in our 22 years of experience and operation, we've been providing this with no complaints.
Wow, you haven't had any issues. That's amazing.
So okay. We are here chatting to Beda Lakhmi. He is Lamki, sorry. He's the CEO of Tabreed. When we come back, we will talk about the future, because consumption is due to triple in the next decade or so. So we'll come back and talk about that very, very shortly. It's Dubai Eye 103.8. Good morning. It is The Agenda on Dubai Eye 103.8. Emma with you in for Tom this morning, and we are chatting to Beda Lamki. He's the CEO of Tabreed, and hearing some very, very interesting things so far. And Beda, I just want to finish off the discussion with this question to you. We know that demand is expected to triple across the GCC by 2030. How are we going to go about meeting those demands? Is there anything that we drastically need to do to change? It's going to be a huge challenge for companies like yours. What are we going to be seeing?
Definitely the answer is through collaboration of multiple stakeholders. One, the policymakers needs to provide the platform through regulation to promote further sustainability actions, be it district cooling, renewables, etc. There's the financial institutions needs also to be there, dynamic, innovative, trying to provide also the industry with smart financing so that projects can take off and projects can be implemented. From our perspective, Tabreed is in a very strong financial standing. We've raised Sukuk at the end of 2018, and we have sufficient liquidity to fuel the next phase of growth for us. But still remains the question of financing at a global stage is something that also needs to be looked at. Then you have technology providers, and innovation has to continue also to evolve so that solutions have been also brought to the market which will enhance again the response time to meet the challenge ahead of us. So there's a number of things that needs to fall in place. Policymakers need to get the action in track, and I think the UAE in particular have showed always stewardship and leadership and walking the walk and taking the actions on the ground through multiple actions, including Masdar, including Tabreed, including a number of other clean source of energy, and then financial institutions, technology providers, and developers as Tabreed. For us, the future is exciting. Today we are 22 years old company. We have 80 plants that in our operation, but we want to further grow the geographies that we're going to target. They're going to expand. Today we are in the GCC except Kuwait, mm-hmm. but we want to penetrate Kuwait, so there's an increasing focus on Kuwait. We need to go to Egypt. There's a highly dense population there, and there's growth that we need to also capture, and also India. India, we've made an investment earlier last year, and just an anchor project, but soon we're going to open an office there, and we're going to also continue to develop projects. So We'll do our part, but we need also the ecosystem around us to continue also to evolve with us so that we can respond to the climate change challenge. Maybe one last thought here. We also involved very much in the international dialogue when it comes to climate change. Last year, we participated in the United Nations Climate Action Summit in September.
Fantastic.
And in there, through the discussion that we had, also working with our peers and partners, we've launched what we call the COOL Coalition. It's an international initiative involving more than 80 different players, countries, and business associates. And the sole objective here is to promote sustainable cooling across the globe. The world is getting warmer and warmer. We need to find cooling solutions. And I think Tabreed stands to be a partner of choice, a credible partner, to contribute to this space.
Fantastic. We look forward to that, and good luck with everything in the future. We look forward to big things from you guys, and it's going to be a challenge, but I'm sure you're there and rising to that.
Thank you very much.
Baina Lamke, CEO of Tabreed, thank you so much.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.